Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here. I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is Friday Form Focus, which means Shark is here to find us all of the winners. And more important than in recent weeks, we're back in lockdown. So we need you to come through for us, Sharky. We need some light at the end of the tunnel. Remind me, last week, pretty profitable week, I think.
Airborne last week.
You had the first.
I think everyone in the world
you had the
was
first
airborne
four winners,
last week.
And then you crowed yourself and you didn't tip another one.
The next 4 seconds, yeah. Literally the next 4 seconds. It was great. Yeah, really super. Yeah, when Great Again got run down by Lord Von Koster, I thought, maybe I should have kept my big trap shut. But no, you got to own it.
That's you've never lived your life by that.
I scoff in the face of the early
crow. If there's
crow.
A ladder, you will walk under it.
Oh, on purpose. just taking it on. That's what you have to do.
It was a nice start to the card for most punters last week.
I think everyone won
last week. How do you see the card at Caulfield tomorrow? I suppose the biggest question is, what's the track going to do? How's it going to play? And what is the weather going to do?
Once again, I love Jane Bunn. But sometimes I think
You're not the only one.
Sometimes I think she's messing with us. Oh, beautiful week. Oh, how good's this week? Isn't it great? But wait for the weekend. It's going to turn ugly. You know how she says it? And you think, well, how ugly is ugly, Jane? How much rain are we going to get? Between 2 and 5, between 2 and 10, between nothing and nothing. What's going to happen? It's a soft 6 at the moment, yes?
I believe so.
I've assessed this meeting, given it gets about 5 mils, because Caulfield tends to get a little bit of it, you know, looking towards that soft 7 range.
Really?
Hopefully it's not worse. But we need to speak to somebody that's a little more... Johnny on the spot.
Well,
the only
person who knows more about the rain, the weather, and tracks than Jane Bunn is Jason Kerr.
I was going to say
that. He's got a similar fan base as well.
He does. He does.
He joins us out at Caulfield this morning. How are you, Jase?
Very well, thank you for that, gentlemen. As Shark says, he's sort of nailed it. He might take my job, Shark, but we're. Had a lovely week, but it's going to turn a little bit tomorrow, which is unfortunate because perhaps improved a little bit with sunny days on it. But as Jane indicates, I think we're going to get some rain tomorrow, and mostly in the morning and early afternoon. So it might be a bit of a wet one, which is probably not unusual for Caulfield. The last 3 or 4 months we've had quite a few wet days, which is a sort of changing trend from recent years. We've sort of been a little bit luckier, but the last 3 or 4 months we've had some soft and heavy tracks. So I think it will continue tomorrow.
Yeah, you've had no luck. Just struggling to hear there, Jase. Just talk into the phone because we want to get this track condition and get the indication for the punters out there. What are you currently rated at?
So I've called it a soft 6 this morning. We're just coming off the track. The going stick's 7.7 and the rail's back in the true. So the probably important fact of that is rail goes back to the true first time since April 4 and it's got a absolutely clean cover of grass on that inside. Probably 8 or 9 metres. The last 3 or 4 metres of three or four meetings have been racing on fill from previous meetings. So it's the first meeting for 3 or 4 that we're going to have a clean cover of grass.
A lot of discussion, obviously, about the last meeting and how it favoured those who were up on the speed. Was that purely just because the rail was out 12 metres? Were there other factors at play? What was your post-meeting analysis on that?
Yeah, we've sort of done a little bit of work since last meeting. Obviously, it's been a bit of a trend recently at Caulfield that leaders have been more to the fore than usual. But what we've found out is that probably the wetter the track here is at Caulfield, the more it seems to favour on speed and leaders. Obviously, we've just pulled some figures from the last 5 or 6 years, and we've on good tracks, 19% of leaders win, and that percentage goes up as you get into the soft range, 25%, and then when you get into the heavy rated track, that leader sort of percentage goes up to 31%. So whether that's got anything to do with it, I'm not a huge fan of stats. They can sort of say whatever you want them to say a lot of the time. But that's sort of what that is indicating is that, on the wetter tracks, the front runners seem to be a little bit of advantage. And the good tracks that we've had at Caulfield over the last 3 or 4 months, dispersed in between the wetter meetings, seems to have raced a little bit more evenly. But on the soft tomorrow, rail back in the true, hard to read it, but it walks very evenly, but obviously with the rain during the day, it'll probably have a little bit of a factor on how it plays, I think.
Well, it's the $64,000 question. How much rain do you think will hit Caulfield between now and the first race?
I think Mick's pretty spot on. I think they're saying between 2 and 5. We're sort of banked on the higher end of that. There's been not much wind around, so if the rain comes in, there's not a lot of wind to blow it away, which is which is probably going to be the factor tomorrow. So I think it'll rain early in the morning. We're sort of banking on that 4 to 5 millimetre range, which certainly pushes it up into that soft 7 range. Hopefully that's as far as it goes. We get a little bit of a break with the rain at some stage early on in the afternoon. But I think if punters work on a soft 7, they're probably not going to be far off the mark.
All right, Jace, good luck. We'll be in contact tomorrow, and hopefully most of that rain overnight does miss Caulfield.
All right, thanks, Ben.
It's going to be one of those days, I can see it, Shane.
Yes, it will be.
Where we will be having to watch the rain throughout the day. And Dean Lester is adamant on this, and there's no better judge than Dean Lester, that it is the most treacherous day to punt when the rain is falling during a meeting.
Yes, I completely agree. Completely agree. I think we witnessed it not too long ago. Actually, there was a meeting back in the summer months that was not this. It's actually the last time Jungle Edge won, when he won the Adams. It was a late January meeting, I think, at Caulfield, and it rained during the day, and things just went from normal to bizarre. Yep. And the pattern seemed to change every race. So it was very, very odd where you wanted to be on that track, on near the fence off, and then as the rain fell and it opened up. Who knows?
Well, fingers crossed.
Just wait and see how it plays out. If you're not in a rush to bet today, don't bet today.
There's one that we do want to back.
Oh,
which
hang
has
on.
Already been backed, but that is in the last race. You may have been out running and you didn't hear.
I was out running this morning.
Oh, well, you've missed the bombshell. You should run with your iPod always tuned into.
I haven't got one of those,
especially on a Friday when you're listening to Dino's selection.
See. This is the problem with running with earphones in. You go through them so quickly because you sweat, and the sweat goes down into your... Look at my ears. Like they seem to... They funnel in, you know? So the sweat, it runs onto the headphones. Do you know how many pairs of headphones you're holding your hand at? Do you want me to stop?
Our listeners do not want to hear anything about you sweating and running. Missed out on the early money.
I'm a free sweater.
On the early price. I'll let you know a little later. But
you're not even going to tell me so I can get on late.
Missed the price. Dean Lester's Ramaruffi is in a different stratosphere, but we'll get to that a little later.
I wonder if it's in the quad.
Race one. This is an intriguing race. Only 8 starters. The 2-year-olds over 1,400 metres here. Again, weather, track conditions is going to play into... I suppose a lot of thoughts on how this race will turn out. But where are you going in the first?
Nowhere. We're in isolation. So I'll be at home, Michael. But you're a week. Try the veal. Efflorescence. There's a fair bit of speed in the race. Narvaez. I'm not sure how we say it, but it'll probably lead. Efflorescence with the blinkers on last time. He began really well and led and had a good tempo too. And Gdansk is the other one that I thought would go forward. I really liked the way Efflorescence won at Ballarat. I know it was on the synthetic track, but he looked a totally different horse with the blinkers on. He focused, he took them along at a good tempo. He quickened away from them off that good speed, just really broke their hearts. It was a fantastic win. And there's form through the race. The runner-up was really well-backed from a price.
Yesterday.
Fox Gossip. And then went and won its next start by 3 lengths.
Yeah.
So there's good form around that race. They ran good time on the day. I think that points to a really good performance from Efflorescence. We're not entirely sure how it'll go on a really wet track, but we can say the same about most of these in this field. I did hear on the way in, Simon Zara talking about Limpet. And I tend to agree that this horse has got a really bright future. He's just so green. Whenever he's come under pressure in his 2 runs, he's wanted to lay in, gets a bit lost, takes time to then balance up, and then hit the line again. So it's a slight concern if he keeps running to that pattern. They haven't put any headgear on him yet to try and straighten him up. 1,400, I think, is what the horse wants. I think he'll run really well. The other one at a big price, that I like is Gdansk, number 7. Crossover noseband goes on. Maybe the horse has just been a bit free.
Did you hear McKen Jr.?
No, what did he say?
We didn't want to run it. We think he's better suited in a maiden, but the owner wanted to run.
Forget I said Gdansk. Next. In any case, he will win a maiden soon. He's a nice sort of middle distance mile type in the making. Has a good bit of fight at the end of his races. But okay, I'll take young Michael's comments on notice.
I've got a little interesting confrontational, as you know.
Yeah.
I think he's.
Well, you're a Leviathan.
I think he's got a very good chance. I think he's over the odds. The
Dude's
only
choice,
question
Cole.
Will be. Is
how much money you're going to have
if
on?
The rain comes. Much better on a firmer surface, so keep that in mind, re-confrontational. But it's one of those races. There are 8 runners, and $12 is the largest price, and that is Frisian, who I think got a really good chance as well. I like him as a horse. That Winamble form is good.
Jay Harvey's in the ownership of that horse with you. You're really sort of rubbing shoulders with some of the elite here, aren't you? Sonny Roth, another, you know...
Well, Dave Searle's the
very well-heeled individual.
So anyway, it's just a little hair in the
tail. Look at you getting
it's good
around.
Fun. I think any of 5 or 6 could win that first race.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Who gets the best run?
Winamble, good chance.
And what the weather does too.
Yeah, so. I agree. Efflorescence is the top pick, though, for the tipping the card.
And I think Dino is on board as well.
Is he?
On Efflorescence. So one of his best for the day. So you're marching
might start well.
The beat of a good drum in the first. Race number 2. Interesting race here, Campania. Now with the great PG Moody is the favourite. Equal favourite with Propel at 370, sort of Mercy's at 550. And it's like we've turned back the clock. The runners at PG Moody has entered at Caulfield tomorrow. It's like he never left the place and he joins us. How are you, Moods?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Very well indeed. You've got a nice little team heading to the Heath tomorrow.
Yeah, the strength of my team heading to Caulfield.
How many have you got at the moment, Mertz?
I've got about 27, 9, 30. I don't know. A few going today and a few coming.
Enough to keep you busy.
Mainly youngsters that are in and out on a weekly basis. Just educational stuff and... before you see tomorrow, in race condition.
Have you got one in the stable that has you excited for the spring?
No. Well, listen, Glenn Fittich is a lovely colt. He looks... he's going to lead him. Sort of no one knows, and I don't know at this point. It's very early days. So... a couple of old boys coming over from Perth next week, getting and...
the Vel. That's right, I saw that. You've got a few coming over from WA, so it seems they're coming from far and wide.
Yeah.
Hey, Moods.
I think Lindsay might have room for him.
We can't quite hear you, Moods. Talk into that that mouthpiece of the phone so we can hear what you're saying.
Sorry, boys. I was mumbling. Yeah, so, listen, my strength's going to be in the young horses and hopefully some of them can come up for the spring.
Moods, talk to us about our Campana in the first. She's first up for you, but had a nice jump out there at Pakenham. If this track gets really wet, have you got enough work into her for her to be a winning chance first up?
No, she can't win if it's wet because she won't be there. If it's genuine wet. The one thing I have learned is I don't believe she... is at home on soft ground. I know she has some soft ground form, but from what I've seen on the gallops here, I don't believe she'd be well suited. So I wouldn't want to see it any worse than a 5 or a 6. I'll discuss with the ownership that well this afternoon and strongly recommend that she doesn't go. So we probably don't know if she takes a place till the morning, but if she does, it's in the belief that she could run very well.
Okay, what about Kings Brook? She's sort of taken a little bit of time to hit her best form, but she's in it now. She takes on the boys tomorrow, 4 from 11 on soft ground. Would she go if it was wet?
Similar, probably nearly identical to our Campania. The drier, the better, but obviously at this time of the year, we're not getting too much of that. I thought with the claim, she comes in well. She's in good form. Probably not a time-honoured open handicap. So we opted to have a crack there with the claim, and if she goes, I'd expect her to be competitive as she has been the last few.
All right, in race 5, you've got the horse you named after your favourite reality TV star.
I was thinking Favourite City.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where our two different minds wander.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I was thinking city. As long as you can kick all the dog shit out of your way, it's not a bad town, Paris. Every bastard's got a dog and they let it crap anyway.
Might be a while before we get back there, Moon, so this might be the closest.
Might be the closest we get.
It's a bit of a roughie, and it's an interesting little race because there's a bit of class for this time of year. Do you give it any hope?
Well, listen, she was good the other day, I thought, in that sort of leader-dominated race, probably leaner, you know, on-pace dominated days, out to 7 furlongs for the first time is probably what I want to see here. She's another one that struggled on the soft ground her whole life, and I really want to get her on firm track. So my idea was to run her in the 7, see if she's going to run this trip, and then maybe have a freshen and wait for better tracks in the early part of the spring, because she's just really not... She doesn't show at the races what she shows at home, ability to quicken on firm ground. And so it's just a bit of trial and error for me to see how she goes at the 7 furlongs. So, you know, she could be placed again like she was the other day, but... She just needs it on top of the ground too, but once again, she's not going to get it.
You might not have many going to Caulfield the way we're going with this rain. You got our crown jewels in the 6th, and I did catch a snippet of the podcast you're on, Moody on the Mic, and Brendan McCullum talking about crown jewels in a certain way with watching a horse get gelded. That was an interesting little snippet that was doing the rounds.
Yeah, it was interesting to have a chat to Brendan the other night. And, yeah, he's now he's got his own farm. He appreciated being there holding a horse while the vet gelded it. I think it made him a bit squirmish. This mare's a filly that's bred to get a trip. Ran her first up the mile the other day. She really disappointed me at Sandown, but her work's been tremendous. She works like a filly that could win this type of race. But you haven't seen anything like that at the races. So we're really taking her on trust, but she's done a power of work for the mile and a quarter. I'm really interested just to get her there and hopefully one day see her do her best, because we haven't seen it yet, because she is quite a talented filly.
Yeah, by the time she goes around, we may well be on a wet track. Do you think that would suit her?
I don't think it's going to worry her. She's the one that'll go to the races regardless, and I don't think it'll worry her chances. So really interested to see how she runs, but you obviously couldn't be backing her on her form. But if you watched her work at home, you would. She's just one of those horses, so... I just want to see her take it to the races before I even consider that she's a chance.
Moods, elsewhere you've got Killer Blonde going around at Mowi in the first, and at the Valley on Sunday you've got Indiscretion in race 5. Any push either way for those?
Indiscretion will have the day off from the bad draw. Killer Blonde, nice filly, probably a next preparation job. But so we're on a wing and a prayer tomorrow, boys. No help here whatsoever. All I can say is if our Campania and Kingsbrook go to the races, I'm going there in the belief that they can run well.
All right. Good on you, Moods. Good luck.
Best of luck.
PG Moody, he's got a couple. This could be the theme of the day. We've already seen one of the favourites later in the day has been scratched because of the bad barrier. So we'll take it on trust. If our Campania is there, it can definitely win. But I would imagine there's going to be a big question mark if the rain hits Caulfield about it even starting.
Yes, I would agree with
race.
That. Based on Peter's words then.
Now, if that's the case, your selections with it in and out of the race, well, if it comes out, Propel's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, she will be. That was a really good run against the boys first up. And she was a bit closer than we've sort of seen Propel in the past, but... she quickened up nicely, no match for Alfaroro, but she was holding second till about the last 75 metres when a couple from the back ran past her. I thought it was a really nice effort. Usually second up form is pretty solid with this mare, so she's in there with a winning chance. Has been a little while since she's won, though, I will say that. A horse that hasn't been a stranger to the winner's list is Sort of Mercy. She's my top pick, sort of mare in form. She's no superstar. 1,100 is as far as she wants it. She just got into an awkward spot there at Sandown over the 1,000, found herself nearer the tail than the front, but worked her way through the field near the inside. Looked like she was going to run right away from them late. She's got a bit of a bad habit, this girl, when she hits the front. She tends to float a little bit, and it took Elite Legacy kicking back on her on the inside for her to sort of get back into gear and finish off. I think Elite Legacy went and won its next start. So, again, there's winning form around her. On the form card, she's won her last three, two being this winter. So, yeah, she's really hard to beat here, I would have thought. And she's my top pick. Jamie Carr riding well.
All right. Race number three. Good news for those who like Tavi Dance. It's in the field because there are two scratchings, the 19 and 20. No, hang on. No, they are the second and third
emergencies.
So they're not in the field.
You're on here. I know you are because you're getting very excited.
I think if Tavi Dance runs and wins, and I'm more excited after listening to Michael Ken Jr., mind you, he did say if it goes to Crampton, pretty much it's a moral on Wednesday.
Sounds like it.
Do we wait a little longer? Now, I think there's a big question mark over Sakura because James Cummings is saying maybe we'll wait because of that barrier, but we still need one more. The race complexion will change a lot because Street Tough and Tavi Dance are two of the top three favourites in this race. So it's almost a tipping blind here. We'll pretend they're in the field, though, and if Tavi Dance does get a run, is it you're on top selection?
Tipping blind, I've done that before.
More like betting blind.
Yes, yeah, that too. Look, it is if it gets into the race. It's clearly the horse with the most upside in this field. If it can sneak in, massive chance. Street Tough, as you said, similar scenario. He'll be very hard to beat as well. If he can get in, it's a weight on scratching's job. For those that are in the field, Strategic Field's drawn to get a really, really good run. He has found form at his last sort of three runs. He's been really consistent in this sort of race. 14 and a mile last time. I thought he was very brave behind Holbein, but back to 14. I think it's probably his right trip. And you can say the same about Kaplumpich. He went off favourite at a mile last time. I've sort of been against him his last two. I don't think he gets a strong mile. I think 1,400, though, is what he wants. He's drawn wide. When he has drawn wide in the past, we've seen him ridden conservatively. And I would assume that's probably the path they'll take again, whether that is how you want to be placed at Caulfield tomorrow, with Jason Kerr's words ringing in my ears, that the wetter it gets, the harder it is to make ground. So he's got a winning chance, and he's going well enough to win a race like this, but not much between Kaplumpich and Strategic Field. Probably Strategic Field gets the nod from the gate.
It's a tricky race. What do you make of... I thought Wild Gem was brilliant last start. If it's wet,
really
I
good.
Think it's going to be a big player. And I know there's a good spruik about Falls. Gets a good 3-kilo claim. I thought it was really disappointing first up, but the ability it showed prior to that, you'd have it as one of the hardest to beat.
It has a lot of talent. The market sort of didn't know what to do with it last time. It was 440 out to 550 at the first fluck, and then they came for it late. It didn't run very well, though. Not whether there's an excuse there, I'm not sure. At its best, yes, definitely in the race, but I'd probably like to see it bring that good form before I put my hard earned on it. And I could say the same about I could do better. I really liked his jump outs going into his first run at Flemington. He was okay with excuses. Second up, he was really plain. Heap of gear changes here. Probably speaks to the fact that they know the horse has got ability, but he's just not showing it at the moment. That's a tricky race, the third.
All right, tricky race, race three, and we're going to have to wait and see what the scratchings are tomorrow morning as well. Race number four, this race... We've got Morrissey. Kingsbrook may not be going around. We'll wait and see that tomorrow. And you've got a couple of stayers resuming up the top. So it thins out quite a bit, especially if Kingsbrook comes out. And it looks almost tailor-made for Morrissey again, doesn't it?
You would think so, given if Kingsbrook comes out, he's got the speed all to himself. And he really should just lob up there. In the past, we've seen a horse like Travi, my friend, flirt with going forward. I don't know if they... use those tactics tomorrow. I had Morrissey sort of sitting outside Kingsbrook, them coming across together and sort of lobbing in that 1-2 spot. As far as the rest of them concerned, they get back run on horses. Never No More has a lot of talent. Simon Morris has him now. Lindsay Smith tried him for a couple of runs, couldn't get him going. I will say his two jump outs have been probably the better efforts that I've seen from him in the last 6 months in Australia. It's a fair old ask, though. First up, 60 kilos on what could be a very wet track, and he hasn't seen anything in the heavy range. So the price is enticing, given his ability, but the confidence isn't there with the map because he'll get back in the field. I just think Morrissey should win, really.
Well, reflectivity is probably the main danger first up.
Again, first up, he's had seven goes. I know he's been consistent first up, but he's yet to win from seven cracks at it.
The other query is the track. It doesn't have great wet track form, so the rain is going to be the question mark for reflectivity. What do you make of Superhard's run last start? Was it the inside barrier?
I think he was too close.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, Michael, it's nothing against Michael Rodd. The horse began well. there wasn't anything to really give him cover or slot behind from where he was, and he ended up in a really awkward position. The horse tried well, stayed on well late. It's just the scenario didn't work out for him last time. He is another that probably settles midfield or just off, and he might just need that little bit of luck to win a race like this. I don't know about him at 1,400. I know he's two from three. That's almost another life away. That was when he was with Darren Weir. He's looked a sharper horse when he was with Sadler and now Lindsay Smith. So I just don't know. I want to see him again at 1,400, so he's got a recent reference there at that trip. Morrissey is without doubt the horse to beat in this race. The other factor I think that will play tomorrow with a few of these horses that are in the market and they're first up, they've got to run first up on what could be a soft seven or worse track. You know, it's pretty testing ground. It's not easy for a horse fresh. I think race fitness will go a long way tomorrow.
Would you take 320 now, Morrissey?
Yeah, I probably would.
All right, Morrissey, race number four, one of Shark's more confident selections. We'll have a look at race five before we take a break. And this, for mine, is one of the more interesting races of the day. I think Alberg's a good horse. It was a good run last start in the Creswick, and I love that front page form. You're here to give us the inside word on Mystery Shot, because he's three for three, he's unbeaten. You've ignored $1 million-plus offers from Hong Kong. That's how good you think he is. 61.5 kilos on a shifting track is the question. Is he a horse that is at home on a wet track?
No, I don't think he is. All the feedback we get from his riders is that he would appreciate better ground. So, again, he's on a track that could be on the worst side of a soft six. I don't think that's going to be in his favour at all. I would, you know, not going to be popular in the office, but I would almost take him on in this race.
He's up 5 kilos.
Yeah, not so much the weight. I think he's good enough to handle the rise in weight. It's the track and the barrier that I'm struggling to see him getting an economical run. And yeah, the fact that this could be pretty choppy ground, it's not going to suit him at all. He was ducking and diving all over the place first up at Ballarat when he won. And then Caulfield last time was a soft six as well, but slightly better ground than what he had first up. I don't know if he's entirely comfortable on it.
If it gets into that soft seven range, will he run?
He probably will, just to find out exactly whether he likes it or not. The owners are effectively mad at the mine. They're not going to sell him, so you might as well find out if he likes seriously wet ground or not. And yeah, I think he'll go around. He's in the market. He's going to be hard to beat if he gets his right ground, but if he doesn't, I think I'd be happy to take him on. And Inspired Sun is the horse I want to take him on with, which is, he's an each way play because of his racing pattern. And on this program, how we're all seeing, we're all half reading it maybe towards those horses near the front, he's going to be disadvantaged on that front, but I think he's an untapped talent. He's got a really good consistent finish on him. Every one of his runs, he's been really strong through the line. I just like him. There's something about this horse that gets me, and it's not just that flashing light finish. He actually wants to chase and get into his races. It's a great quality for a young horse to have. He's well achieved. If Wicklow Town's in the market, this horse should be right in the market too.
Well, Wicklow Town's beaten him and Scorpius at its last two starts.
Yes, it has. I think he was lucky to beat him at Geelong. The way that race shaped up favoured Wicklow Town more so than Inspired Sun, became a bit of a sprint for home, and he was detached from the group, really, when the pace went into the race, coming around the corner. He was fantastic his last 400. I think I'll try him each way tomorrow at that $7 or $8 mark. I think he's a fair bet in that race.
Alberg's the class runner. Yes. He's only won the one race.
Gee, he's been stiff, this horse.
Where do you have him? He's currently a $5 chance, gets 1.5 kilos off. He's a horse that's got through wet conditions. I'm not sure whether he's overly at home on a soft track, but he's got through it in the past.
He really charged up, if you go back to May, behind Final Man, and it looked like he was going to go right on and win that race and might have just run out of gas a little bit late. The run at Flemington to Rockabascarana, he was desperately unlucky, held up, should have gone through the line there. I think he's okay in this sort of ground. He just has had no luck whatsoever. Like in these last four runs, you can make a case that he probably should have finished closer to the winner, if not won the race. So he is a genuine winning chance in this race.
We'll need to be making ground for him to be winning.
Absolutely, yep. And you say the same about Inspired Sun as well. The horses that will probably sit at closer to the speed than not. Leal, Scorpius, you know, we saw him lead last time. He'll lead and give a really good kick. Well, smart
Terrace
claim
House,
for Will Price.
Terrace House is the other one that we have.
Terrace House or Box Seat.
Who's going to get the run. Yeah. He looks a pretty smart horse.
He's okay. Yeah, he's coming along well. I don't think there's any sort of superstar status about him. It's the right race to try him in. He won a Class 1 last time. He found the lead. Once he found it, the good thing about the win was he kept maintaining that effort through the line. It wasn't as if horses, you know, sometimes these young horses hit the front and they just turn off. He kept going, which was a really good sign. So he's a competitor. I'm just not sure how good he is.
Well, this is a historic moment here. Sharkey is being very brave indeed because to Brad Spicer, his boss, Lindsay Smith, his trainer, he's declared that Mystery Shot cannot win at Caulfield tomorrow.
No, well...
potting his own horse.
I don't know, cannot win, but... yeah. Now, well, let's go with that.
SMSs are flooding in. If 25% front runners win in the slow, does that mean 75% of winners come from the back? Love your show. Well, he did break it down into three sections.
Yeah, you break it down into sections. So it's, you know, on the speed, I think that's settling in the first three. And then the next pattern is sort of that fourth to, you know, midfield. They break it down depending on field size. So it's not as if, oh, 25 win, everything else runs on. It's a bit simplistic to look at it.
Another SMS, the Valley on Sunday, that's a bit different, isn't it? That's from Matty O. Well, it is it's the Ballarat meeting that's been transferred because the Ballarat track's too waterlogged. So interesting that they decided to go to the Valley.
Very interesting, particularly seeing metro areas locked down.
But it is officially a country meeting, which has been held at Moonee Valley. Lads, I'm tuning in from the Western Districts through the app. Want to mention to people listening from outside this region of the first ever TAB race meeting for my hometown. Oh, I'm going to get this wrong.
You will.
Barcaldine, Barcaldine tomorrow.
Barcaldine.
Barcaldine. Hometown first TAB Barcaldine meeting tomorrow. Home of the only turf track west of the Great Divide. All involved should be commended for the hard work and dedication over the last few years to get this up. That's from Jay. Well, Western Queensland, Barcaldine, first TAB meeting tomorrow. Good on you. Good on you for tuning in, Jay. Best of luck. We all wish we were in Queensland.
Moody will know where that place is.
Yeah, he would too. Exactly.
Yeah, he's probably been there.
Happy Friday, boys. Sharky, loving your Friday fill-ups.
Oh.
But I've got a Tommy top-up for tomorrow to maximise the tax return.
Hang on. You can't give yourself a segment. You can't just nominate yourself as a segment.
If this horse wins, we'll have a Tommy top-up every week, thank you.
You're inviting trouble now.
It's Cowra, race four, number two, sit and steer job. Tom from Tamworth. That is today. Cowra, race four, number two. I'll have a look at the market for the punters out there because we've actually caused a little bit of consternation in the office with the Friday fill-up because Gareth thinks he's patented that with Dino and Hamish.
Oh.
Not too happy that you've jumped in on that. So after last week's Friday fill-up performance, you need to redeem yourself today as well.
Well, 2 seconds, yeah.
There are some questions about...
I need to stop running second. That would be the best result.
Oh, this must be tomorrow, this horse. I'll look for it in the break. And Cowra. I'll give all of the RSN listeners those odds. But the Tommy top-up, I'll find it in the break, and I'll give it to you soon. After the break, we'll be looking at the remainder of the Caulfield meeting, including the feature, the Sir John Monash Stakes.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We're up to race six, which is the first leg of the quaddie tomorrow at Caulfield. And for those punters who are only just tuning in, the news this morning is Right You Are, who was the $2.50 favourite, has been scratched. It'll be saved for, I think, a race at Flemington next week because of the wide barrier, which means the new market has Grand Deflora very tight at $2.40 and thought of that at $4.20. It's then $11, the remainder. A two-horse race, according to the market. Now, Sharky, I'm not sure if you heard Kieran Maher yesterday, but I asked him about thought of that, who, if memory does serve me correct, you said prior to his last start run, he was gone.
Yeah.
The horse was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was an improved run. This is what Kieran had to say about his chances tomorrow.
Yeah, he was out looking for form, and we just had to wait one for tracks, and He doesn't seem to like to get his feet too wet. But, yeah, I was wrapped and out for the 2000. He loves Caulfield. And he's trained on beautifully. He worked well on Tuesday morning here.
He's back?
He's back, yeah.
He sounds confident. You weren't the only one, to be fair, who thought he was gone because he had a jump out where he looked like a drafts horse.
He had two that he looked like a Clydesdale.
Gee,
he's back, he is not back. He's not back. He ran second in a 78 at his best. He won a Group 3 by nearly four lengths, beating the Derby winner.
Well, he's improving.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. If he's continuing to improve and it's a track racing the way it has been in previous
You want to back
meetings,
him tomorrow? Go for your life.
He goes to the front. He leads.
Yep.
Who runs him down?
Oh. Heavenly Emperor ran him down last time.
Last time he went to 2000, he won the Norman Robinson by four, yep, defeating Warning. Now,
but he'd won something before that by about 25 lengths. Yeah. So I would assume that he was going better last time round than into this race.
No,
but
I don't think there's any doubt.
Great to see that he was getting somewhere back to form last time, because before that it looked like it might be all over for him. So yeah, good to see the horse on a positive trajectory. Now, Grandiflora, she's working her way through the grades with purpose. Has been very, very well placed. There's good form around this horse. She beat Quantum Mechanic two back. That horse ran really well to Cordelia last week in that Phillies final. She beat the older mares last time, came from the back of the field. Mrs. O'Malley came with her. She's a good horse on a day, and she is absolutely ready to win wherever she goes, Mrs. O'Malley. Wasn't quick enough, though, in that last little bit. She gave Mrs. O'Malley weight, gave the older mares weight and a beating last time. She deserves to be favourite. Do I want to charge into her, though, at this point of the game, not knowing now how the track is playing? No, I don't. Lord Boozeron definitely goes into the race. It will be here very, very fit. Chrissy Barnbury, who trains the horse in New Zealand, is in a really good patch of form over there in Kiwiland at the moment. She would have sent this horse over in rock-hard shape for a race like this, and it can go very well. Translator's probably the other one that's been underestimated a little bit. Found an awkward spot last time at Flemington, was a month between runs. Missed the run last week to be safe for this at 2000. Changed the jockey, Dwayne Dunon. I'm throwing it in the quaddie too.
Oh, I think if the rain comes tomorrow, this is a chance to get a big split in the quaddie, because Thought of That does not like the wet.
We don't think it does.
Any more than, say, a soft six, a soft mm-hmm. seven. It didn't run the distance in the Derby, but it also didn't handle a wet track on that raining Derby day. And Grandiflora has won four of five on the soft, so no issues there. But the one start on the heavy was really disappointing. Now, I don't know if we're going to get into the heavy range, but if it's worse than a soft, or if it's in a soft seven range, would you have any question marks about Grandiflora?
Yeah, possibly. I don't think this is a straightforward race or a race that I want to single one out and have a bet in. I think it's had an awkward start to the quaddie would be the best way to describe this race.
All right.
When you look through the runners, there's not a lot here that you'd say, oh, yeah, I want to be on this horse. This is right in the game.
So first leg of the quaddie, numbers?
1, 3, 4, 5. And if it gets heavy, 8, no change.
1, Thought of That. 3, Grandiflora. 4, Lord Boozeron. 5, which is Translator. And the 8 you're going to throw in, no change, if it gets really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the first leg of the quaddie. That takes us to the feature of the day, which is the Sir John Monash Stakes. Spoke to most of the trainers throughout the week. James Cummings is very confident about Viridine. Good to see that he's going here. But no one was more confident than Mick Bell, who I spoke to yesterday about his old mate, Jungle Edge.
Look, I'm happy. If the race was run today, I'd be happy. And it really does look like we're going to get a little bit more rain before then. It's certainly not warm enough to dry out much. And Now he's won more races on sixes and sevens than he has on heavy. So, I'm happy, really happy with how the way things are shaping up for this race. And, I expect him to run a really good race.
He trialled really well during the week.
He did.
Mick Bell went on to say that he nowadays races the best he does off the back of a little freshen.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? I'd like him tomorrow. I think he'll win the race. He's going to get... He can either lead, like Jada Rose can take him to the front, or if Tavasan wants to boot up underneath, he's going to get a little sit into the race, or can sit with Tavasan and start to apply pressure whenever Jade wants to. That has worked out okay for the horse in the past. If you go back and watch his Adams win track and distance back in January on a soft track, he actually settled about 4th, 5th, 6th in the run and then just loomed into it and got rolling and kept going. I think the draw is really positive with this horse. Jade can just assess the speed and work across whenever she wants and lead or stalk. You know, she has options with this horse. It's great. I'm thinking it can turn the tables on Viridine from when they met in the June Stakes. Jungle Edge gave Viridine 2 kilos on that occasion. It was a really hard day to lead and win. Horses with momentum running on out wide were the ones you wanted to be on. And Viridine sat back, sort of just smoking the pipe, doing no work. Jungle Edge did all the work out in front. Viridine ran past it. It was probably only 2 lengths in front of it on the line with the weight and the positioning. I don't think there's much between these two horses. Their clash prior to that, Jungle Edge clearly beat Viridine in the McKay Stakes by 4 lengths, in fact, in Adelaide. So I think Jungle Edge is at a good price here compared to the favourite, which I think has come up short.
Yeah, well, he's around about $4.40, so it does look a nice race for Jungle Edge. Is Viridine the main danger, or...?
Yeah, Viridine's the main danger, and the only other horse I'm throwing in the quaddie is number 9, Grey Shadow.
Yep.
She's 4 from 5, track and trip. She goes really well fresh. Again, probably wants it around that 6. If it gets into the 7 range, I'm a little bit concerned. But these mares run so well for Jamie Carr. I don't know what it is about Jamie's, method in the saddle with these mares. It seems to be a bit hit and miss. She often gets them to improve and come back to their best form. She goes in the quaddie at a little price there for me.
What do you make of intuition? Kurt Goldman's rolled the dice. He can't get back to Victoria now, the horse. But, gee, I love the way he hit the line at Flemington.
Really nice run. Really nice run down the straight. Form says it's better on top of the ground.
Okay.
He's had 7 goes on soft and heavy tracks.
I am someone on the backup?
I reckon he's listed grades as strong as he wants it. He won the Wongoom, that was great. But when he's sort of come up to this level, he's just been found wanting a little bit, in my view.
Ashlaw?
We'll run an honest race. I'm working on the fact it might be a soft 7 or worse, and that could go against him.
All right, so you're confident the old boy Jungle Edge will win with Jade DeRose in a saddle for Mick Bell, only 3 hopes in the quaddy.
What price is he, Jungle Edge? 460? He was around that last
440.
Night. I think that's a really good bet against Viridine at $2.40, $2.50. I would happily back Jungle Edge at that price.
So 1, Jungle Edge, 2, Viridine, and 9, Grey Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
3 in the second leg of the quaddie, which going tight is going to be good because I think the next couple of legs...
stuff is.
I think the next couple of legs we're going to need to go a bit wider.
Dooley.
There's a lot of good winning form in the next, which is race number 8. Sizzlefly is the favourite, 480. Bless Her, 650. Flowstar, 750. And the stablemate to Sizzlefly, That Girl, is at $10. But it certainly doesn't end there, the chances. Sizzlefly is a class. If you're just going to look at it from pure class perspective...
She's got these covered.
She's got the weight to carry. Tommy Stockdale takes 2 kilos off. But do you think she'll just be too classy?
It might be that sort of scenario. She's probably going to settle worse in midfield from the gate. She's drawn wide, which by this point of the day, it might not be a bad thing. That little bit of room, you know, it could be handy. She's won up to a heavy 9. That was at Mornington, so we know it gets pretty wet down there. No worries in the ground, in my view. It's just that positioning. She's got residual fitness from the Adelaide prep, so she's one of these horses on the day that, yes, she's fresh, but... it's not as if she's coming off a really long break. She should carry some good condition into this race, you would assume, from that recent preparation. Winning form from everywhere. There's a zillion different form lines here. It's really hard to line these up. Bless Hers won her last three, going well, gets a good run just off the speed. She was really tough at Sandown Hillside last time. She goes in the quaddie. Knowles has drawn wider. She did at the Valley. Just got too far back that day, and you needed to be sort of nearer the front. Ran on well. Sectionals were good. How wet does she want it? Don't know. There's positives and negatives for about 10 runners in this race. It's a very, very tough race, and hence we are going wide in the quaddie.
All right. Give us those numbers.
Okay. If you punch these into your phone, I think you can order... green curry from the Thai restaurant in Barbados. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12 and 15.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 15. Sizzle, Fly, Flow, Star, That Girl, Knowles. Bless Her, Knowles. And then we are down to 12, which is High Risk, at a good price. And the 15, which is Little Stevie. Simon Zara did give it a bit of a push.
I heard that. She was upside down last time. It's exactly right, the point that Simon made about her race pattern. You need to let her run. And if the track is playing to horses on speed tomorrow, she might be one that the market just forgets about a little bit. She could get out to a really good price and cause a little upset there. Masked Crusader form's good.
Dino gave a bit of a push for Chassis in the race as well.
Yeah, another one. You could almost... You know, dare I say it, take the field in this race. You'd be confident of getting it if you did that. She's fresh into this race, and if the track gets really wet, that's what I'm a little bit concerned about.
Got an SMS from Ray here for you, Sharky.
Razor.
I like Kaspersky, race 4 at Caulfield tomorrow. If the wet, 5 from 7 first up, never missed a place on the wet, $31. What does Shark think?
Good luck.
Okay, right.
I don't think this horse is going very well, Ray.
New trainer?
Yeah.
Jump out's not looking that good?
Yeah, it's been a long time. A long time since we've seen Kaspersky show anything that resembles form.
Okay, well, there you go, Ray.
And he will now win by 10. That's what I've done for you, Ray.
Don't be too disheartened.
Because... You make a silly statement like that. Ray, when this horse wins on the weekend at 20 zillion to 1, I would like just a bottle of something in the mail, please, my friend, because exactly. I've just done you a huge favour there.
SMS from Gary saying, I've got a bit of history. On Wednesday, Nash Rewilla rode the last winner at Warwick Farm, and a couple of minutes later, Son Campbell rode the last winner at Sandown. Go the
That's pretty
Rewillas.
Cool.
It was a good day for the
apprentice. Going very well, Campbell.
He's a star, isn't he?
He is going to be a very good jockey.
Race number 9 is the last at Caulfield. Now, this is where the betting market has been turned on its head because of Dean Lester this morning. He tipped as his Ramaruffi, 3 of the last 4 Ramaruffis, which...
They've been outstanding.
The technicalities are... On a Friday, Dino must tip a double-figure horse to be eligible. Last week, Von Costa de Hero won. It was $14 when he tipped it. It was backed into $8. This morning, he tipped He Excels. It was $23 when he tipped it. Speaking of Campbell Rewilla, he rides. It's now $10. Such is the power of RSN's own Dean Lester. It is a tricky race. It's $5 a field. I was really taken with Triple Strip's first up run for Paddy Payne.
Yeah, top run.
Heavenly Emperor, who you don't rate that form line, I've thought of that anyway, is at $5.50. Francis Boy, it's probably the other speed with He Excels, and He Excels stablemate Dogmatics at around about $9, but you could probably throw in a few others at long price odds in this last race. Firstly on He Excels, Dino's Ramaruffi. Are you giving it a chance?
It wouldn't shock me if he won. He jumped out.
That's not a confident reaction.
No, but I'm looking at horses that may be a really rock-hard fit if this track is deteriorating. He'll go forward. He jumped out late June at Cranbourne. He won that heat. It was a really... He is the sort of horse that can do that when he gets out a little bit in those longer jump-outs over 1,000 metres at Cranbourne. He can look very good there. He has run well, fresh in the past. Campbell Rewilla is good on a horse that settles on the speed. Yeah, there are a lot of positives you can point to for a horse to run well at a big price. At $10, I think he's probably well and truly found his mark now. The tidal wave's come and he's probably unders to a degree now. Yeah, if you want to throw him in the quaddie, throw him in the quaddie. I thought Curra landed in this race ready to win. There was good support for him in early markets first up. got too far back in that race and was just a little bit disappointing. Second up at Flemington, back again, finished really well back towards the inside. I like that heptagon form line. Mm. He ran really well, albeit unplaced, in that race, the Winter Championship final before that, and he'd won three in a row. So the form around heptagon's very good. This is an easier target than that race. He loves some give in the ground. Caulfield may not be his track, but positive ride from a wide-ish gate, getting out to his right sort of distance range. I can see Curra being a factor here. Francis Boy goes in the quaddie, on speed, fit, in great form. You know, there will be each way odds, I would assume. Dogmatic goes in the quaddie. I liked his first up run at Caulfield. I thought it was a really good effort on a day when it was hard to make ground. He made ground with purpose. Mick Walker sticks with him. He is a horse that can improve into his preparation. And Triple Strip, the one you mentioned, second up into this race. A bit of an unknown quantity if it gets really wet, but was just trying to find a gap there at Flemington. It never came. You could see Talia Hope busting to get through. I think the horse had a little bit to offer there.
All right, well, let's get your numbers in the last.
3, 5, 11, 14.
3, 5, 11 and 14. A good value selection, the last. Curra at $12. 5, Francis Boy. 11, Dogmatic. And 14, which was Triple Strip. Mm. Best for the day at Caulfield tomorrow?
I think Morrissey maps so well, given the speed in that race. I think he will have no excuses there tomorrow. And Jungle Edge at 4:40, entirely backable.
I like it. Now, your Friday fill-up, controversial Friday fill-up, you need to salute today. Racing.com, we're playing on the wax at Pakenham. What is the fill-up today?
Playing on the wax? That's a trendy way to put it. It's for a man in a cardigan? That's really good.
We're running late. Hurry
up. Sorry. Pakenham. Race 2, can I give you one at $9?
Absolutely.
Race 2, number 10, Call Me Miss Maisie.
After Andrew Mays. Race 2,
okay.
Number 10, Call Me Miss Maisie.
I think it's a really nice each-way bet. Comes through a strong jump out at Mornington. Alternate Reality won that well. It's going well. The third horse there, Top Choice, won its first up run. She's got ability. Little bit of a tricky draw, but look, at $9, she's an each-way bet.
All right, we like it. An each-way special, the Friday fill-up. Race 2, number 10, Call Me Maisie. Sharky, good punting, good tipping.
Go well, Michael.
Time for the 10 o'clock news. More tips coming up at Pakenham after the break.